Well, it's officially Auburn week. And I think we all know that this Auburn LSU rivalry always has some sort of weird juju attached to it. There's always something strange that happens. You know, most recently, Les Miles getting fired for not managing the clock, the night that the barn burned, the earthquake game, so on and so forth. But this year, there's some drama surrounding the Auburn LSU matchup, and it's happening off the field before the game even starts. What exactly is it? We'll break that down, plus so much more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, we know we've got a challenge in front of us. They're talented. They're athletic. This is a an SEC defensive line that you, when you watch film, you respect what they can do. They can rush the passer. They're physical against the run, and we'll certainly have our hands full. So, we're playing with two freshman tackles. They'll certainly be challenged in this game. But look, they've got a few games under their belt. They've got some experience, but they haven't been experienced like this. So, it'll be a great challenge.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. I also want to let y'all know that today's episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up on underdogfantasy.com with the promo code LOCKEDON and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. I'm Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every day. I graduated from LSU a few years ago, and I've been covering the team since 2016, and I now host a sports talk radio show in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, as I do every Friday leading up to a game, I'm going to highlight the three ways that I think LSU could lose this game and the three ways that I think LSU could win this game. But before we get into that, I think we all know that, just this LSU-Auburn matchup, there's always something weird about it. Always. It has just some funky voodoo. You know, Les Miles was fired in 2016. And the following year, when Auburn came to Tiger Stadium, LSU was down bad at the half, and then they came back to win the game. That was funky. And then we go back to, further history. Of course, we know about the night that the barn burned. Of course, we know about the earthquake game in Baton Rouge. We all know. We are so familiar with the funky things that always seems to happen between LSU and Auburn. But this time, it's motivated by something off the field. This time, the drama is starting even before Saturday is upon us. And it involves a former LSU Tiger who is now wearing an Auburn uniform. Now, Coy Moore. Coy Moore was an LSU wide receiver in 2020 and 2021. Coy Moore transferred to Auburn this past year. Fine. Okay. I don't think that any of us would have any issue with a player transferring if that's, going to give them the best opportunity. I have no beef with Max Johnson deciding to transfer, and I had no beef with Coy Moore deciding to transfer. Do whatever is best for you. But Coy Moore was on the War Report podcast, an Auburn football podcast, covers the team. They had Coy Moore on as a guest leading up to the LSU game. Makes sense, right? He was at LSU and now he's at Auburn. But Coy Moore had some shade to throw, not just at the LSU football program as a whole, but one specific individual. I'll let you guys hear it for yourself.
LSU has done a really good job with, recruiting wide receivers over the last few years. I don't think that's debatable. The receivers that have come out of that program have been incredible. So when you came over, there was a feeling, hey, this guy could be, they might be crowded there. So when you made the decision, was it just about like what drove you to make this decision to transfer and jump into the portal? Was it just too many guys at the same position what was it?
It wasn't about that. In my opinion, I ain't trying to be cocky, and I was the best receiver in that room.
Okay. Listen, because Kayshawn is nice.
Oh, no, I know. And I'm better than him for sure.
My God.
Whoa. Wow. That is a bold statement. That's an awfully cocky thing to say. Now, Kayshawn Booty quote tweeted that video that was put out on Twitter with just a bunch of laughing emojis. Now it's since been deleted, probably smart on Kayshawn Booty's part. He does have a knack for deleting things on social media. But I have no problem with smack talk. I think it's part of the game. I think it's fun. I think it's fun when players do it to each other, as long as it's all, respectful in, to a certain extent. It's football. I have no problem when fans do it to each other. As long as there's an underlying, sense of respect there, and once you're off the field, sportsmanlike, whatever. I have no problem with smack talk. What I do have a problem with is Quay Moore just saying something that's absolutely positively not true. If it was true, if we as LSU fans were looking at it like, yeah, man, like we dropped the bag with Quay Moore, like he's really going to give us some issues, I'd have no problem with it. But let's look at Quay Moore's career as an LSU Tiger. So he's specifically comparing himself to Kayshawn Booty. In 2020, Quay Moore had 22 receptions, 177 yards, and 0 touchdowns. Kayshawn Booty had 45 receptions, 735 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Well, maybe Quay Moore just needed some time to get acclimated, right? So maybe the following year in his sophomore season, he would bring more to the table if he wants to make claims like that. In 2021, Quay Moore had 5 receptions, 71 yards. Kayshawn Booty, in a short season where he got injured and left early in the season, 38 yards, 509 yards, 9 touchdowns. And it wasn't just Kayshawn Booty. Look at Dre Jenkins, because he was there just as long as Quay Moore was. In 2020, he had 23 receptions and 397 yards and 2 touchdowns. 2021, 34 receptions, 502 yards, 6 touchdowns. In all of those instances, Quay Moore was not the best wide receiver on this team. He wasn't even the second best wide receiver on this team. He wasn't even the third best wide receiver on this team. In 2020, Quay Moore had the 7th most receiving yards on the team. In 2021, Quay Moore had the 10th most receiving yards on the team. And that's behind Eric Gilbert. That's behind tight ends. That's behind running backs who were also catching balls out of the backfield. Quay Moore, if Quay Moore was the best receiver in that room, like he's claiming to be, don't you think they would have played him more? This is not a dumb coaching staff. This is not a coaching staff that it turns a blind eye to talent. This is a coaching staff in a program that is notorious for developing elite wide receivers. You don't think if they saw an elite wide receiver in that room that they wouldn't take advantage of it? And LSU is no program that will shy away from a big name and give an opportunity to a player that maybe won't doesn't have as big of a name, but has just as much talent. They've done that in the past. They do it this year. Malik Nabers, he was not as highly touted going into the season as Kayshawn Booty was, but Malik Nabers is getting plenty of time. And that's no knock on Kayshawn Booty. That's just how it goes. Quarterback puts the ball in the hands of the person that he trusts. So if Quay Moore really was the best wide receiver in those rooms, don't you think it would have shown up on the stat sheet? Don't you think he would have been used a little bit much? And I know I understand a little bit more. I mean, and I understand that I probably sound incredibly petty. You started it, not me. If Quay Moore wants to make those claims, that's fine, but I'll bring receipts. So if he wants to talk about this LSU football program in a bad light, go for it. That's fine. The stats say differently. But coming up next, I want to get into the three ways that LSU could possibly lose this game, three things that could put LSU behind the eight ball against Auburn. And of course, as we always do, we will end on three ways that LSU can win this game. This episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to spice up college football season. So it's super easy, and I cannot emphasize that enough. It's easy, it's quick. You don't have to put in all of this information and all these verification codes. You can just do it while you're sitting there watching your team play. So I like to use Underdog Fantasy whenever I want more player forward prop bets, whether that's Jaden Daniels over rushing yards against Auburn this weekend, or if that's Noah Kane over rushing yards, or Robbie Ashford under passing yards. Those are all bets that you can take and all things that you can put your money on with Underdog Fantasy. So you can go to Underdog and make picks just like I did, just like I took Robbie Ashford under passing yards, because I don't think that Auburn is going to be able to get the ball moving in the passing game too much against LSU and Jordan Hare this weekend. It's super easy to play, and it's available in over 30 states. All you have to do is pick between 2 and 5 players across any team, not just LSU, not just Auburn, not just across the SEC, but you can do it across all of college football and decide if they will finish higher or lower than Underdog Fantasy expects them to. One of the easiest fantasy games to play out there, and you can win cold, hard cash in a single game. I know, who doesn't like making money off of watching football? I know I sure do. So sign up with the promo code Locked On, one word, Locked On, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. So deposit $100, get $100 free, plus the money that you'll win on your bets as well. Just go to underdogfantasy.com or find the Underdog Fantasy app in the App Store or in the Google Play Store. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Locked On. Get in on the college football pick'em action today. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, the three ways that LSU could go on the road at Jordan-Hare Stadium and potentially lose if Auburn pulls off the upset. This is how, in my opinion, it would go down. First and foremost, if Auburn is able to get pressure on Jaden Daniels. Auburn has 47 quarterback pressures so far this season. Their linebacker, Derek Hall, leads their team with 3 sacks. They have 8 sacks as a team as a whole with 5 different players. They have at least 1 sack each. So it's not just one guy that Auburn relies on to get to the quarterback. They're able to kind of spread that love around and get pressure on the quarterback across this front four and this front seven as well. But Derek Hall is going to be one that LSU absolutely is going to have to double team and is absolutely going to have to keep away from Jaden Daniels, because he's proved to be just an absolute boss at the line of scrimmage. So LSU is going to have to limit him and limit the rest of this front four. They're the 6th most sacks in the SEC. And to put that into perspective of exactly how good Auburn's defensive line is, honestly, I think Auburn's defensive line is underrated, because I think that's a storyline about this team that gets buried amongst all of the other bleep shows that's going on in Auburn, whether it's, you know, the quarterback. I don't even want to say controversy, because there's not a controversy. It's not a competition. It's just quarterback inconsistencies. Just threw my pen. Quarterback inconsistencies, that gets the storyline of the defensive line gets buried beneath that. And of course, all of the rest of the Brian Harsin drama and all of the baggage that's attached to this program that Brian Harsin has brought in. But this defensive line is really, really solid, good for the 6th best in the SEC. So to put that in perspective, LSU has 12 sacks in the season. Auburn has 8. LSU has 6 different players with at least 1 sack. Auburn has 5, and LSU also has 4 other players, adding half a sack each. So while LSU has had more success getting to the quarterback over the last 4 weeks, while LSU has been a little bit more of a force on the defensive line, Auburn's really not that far behind them. So if we as LSU fans are going to tout this defensive line, we're going to tout the amount that the defensive line is able to pressure the quarterback, which I think we absolutely should. That's one of the greatest strengths on this team. I think we also have to look at that as a strength for Auburn. We saw how difficult it was for Jaden Daniels to get things moving offensively when he was getting pressured by Florida State, or really when he gets pressured in general. While he takes care of the football, he's not turning the football over. He still gets out of the pocket and he still runs around, maybe isn't able to pick up as much yardage as you'd like. I mean, Jaden Daniels has found a ton of success running the ball, but I think we've all seen that this LSU team can't be incredibly successful if that's all this offense has, is Jaden Daniels running the ball. So when he's pressured, I think he puts himself into uncomfortable situations and he's forced to make plays that make him uncomfortable. So if Auburn gets to the quarterback, that is going to make things really difficult on Jaden Daniels and the rest of this offense. The second way I think that Auburn could win this game is if they stop the run. LSU has found so much success, like I just mentioned, found so much success offensively when Jaden Daniels runs the ball. And then you've also got Armani Goodwin and Noah Cain and John Emery and this, you know, this trio of running backs along with the rest of the running back core that have been able to run the ball a lot. Now, I mentioned Armani Goodwin. We have an update from Brian Kelly about Armani Goodwin and his status. This is what Brian Kelly had to say.
Has there been any progression on Armani Goodwin's hamstring injury this week?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say he's out for this week. It's a substantial injury in a sense that, you know, it's going to require more time. So, you know, our training staff is amazing. They're trying everything, but he's definitely out for this week.
So, I mean, a big loss to not have Armani Goodwin, especially with in a scenario where LSU is going to have to run the ball, not just against Auburn, but also in this difficult stretch of games coming up in October. It's in not having your leading rusher, not named Jaden Daniels. You don't get better, obviously, and that's definitely going to be a hit to this run game. I mean, Armani Goodwin leads all running backs in rushing yards, 199 yards, 5 rushing touchdowns. So that's going to absolutely be a hit for this team moving forward, since Brian Kelly did say it was a significant injury. We don't know exactly how long Armani Goodwin will be out, but we do know for sure that he's out against Auburn. So what exactly does that mean for this LSU run game? Well, Auburn hasn't had a lot of success stopping the run in the past. Let's look at Penn State and Missouri this season, because that's, you know, they're, I don't really care about Mercer and San Jose State, no disrespect to those programs, but I'm looking at the two biggest games so far in Auburn's schedule. So look at Penn State. They rushed for 245 yards and 5 touchdowns. That was the most that Penn State has rushed this entire season so far. They rushed for 98 against Purdue, 166 against Central Michigan, 234 against Ohio. So they're able to run the ball, but just not as much as they had against Auburn. That was one area where, you know, Auburn, you know, that's the reason why they absolutely got destroyed against Penn State. That was one reason why. It was because Auburn couldn't stop the run and Penn State just kept running the ball down their throats. Let's look at Missouri. Missouri rushed for 133 yards against Auburn, 2 rushing touchdowns, their only touchdowns on the day. So I don't know if Auburn's defense, if they're going to target this LSU run game, seeing as though LSU has found so much success on the ground game. I don't know if Auburn can stop the run, but I am looking at that to be a way that LSU could lose this game, is if Auburn does stop the run, especially in this LSU running back core that will be missing Armani Goodwin, its leading rusher, not named Jaden Daniels. The third way that I think LSU could potentially lose this game is something that I think is in play always whenever you're on the road, but especially now, seeing as though this is the first road game for this team, true road game. I understand, you know, they weren't in Tiger Stadium week one, but that was still a home crowd. You know, that's still New Orleans. It's not a long road trip. It felt like a home game. So this is the first true road test. And Jordan-Hare is not an easy place to play, especially at night. We always find so much pride in Tiger Stadium at night and how difficult of an environment that is for opposing teams to play at LSU. Auburn fans feel the same way about Jordan-Hare at night. So this is going to be difficult for a team that has yet to experience a road SEC game, especially for Jaden Daniels. This is his first true road SEC game. We saw against Mississippi State in the first half, it was difficult for this team to get things moving offensively. And I think part of that is because Jaden Daniels needed to take a little bit of time to get acclimated against his first SEC opponent. I wouldn't be surprised if you see this team need a little bit of time to get things going offensively. So if you're watching the game and it might be, you know, scoreless in the first quarter or scoreless for the first few minutes of the game, don't get nervous. Don't get like scared. Don't be upset that LSU isn't able to score big time if that does happen to be the case, because I do think that this team is going to need just a little bit of time to get acclimated. We've seen that so far this season where they really are true second half warriors against some of these better teams. So I'm not counting out this raucous environment and being on the road as being a legitimate factor for this game and for this LSU team, considering it is the first of the season. But coming up next, I want to get into exactly how LSU could win this game. The three ways LSU could snag their second SEC win of the season. We'll get into that coming up next. Three ways that LSU could win on the road at Auburn. First and foremost, I think the most obvious thing going into this game, I think the most obvious matchup going into this game, at least, is that this Auburn offense is horrible and this LSU defense is really, really, really good. Just how bad is Auburn's offense? They're 109th in college football with 17.7 points per game. 99th in yards per play, and 114th in third down conversions, 92nd in first downs gained. Woof. I mean, not only is it, you know, because you might see a lot of SEC teams that are ranked kind of at the bottom of college football in certain areas. For example, Arkansas leads the SEC in sacks. However, they're one of the worst in college football in pass defenses, but they're able to make up for it in different areas. This Auburn offense, it doesn't seem to have very many bright spots, even in the run game, where we see Tank Bigsby, and we see this really, you know, stout Auburn run game that's been pretty successful over the past few years. Even that, it hasn't been enough to get things moving for Auburn. So I think that's one thing that I'm looking at is how much can this LSU defense really stop an Auburn offense that hasn't really found its identity yet? I mean, TJ Finley and Robbie Ashford, they've been kind of going back and forth for the quarterback position. We saw TJ Finley in for about half of the Missouri game. We saw Robbie Ashford in for about half of the Missouri game. But so far in the season, they've combined for 2 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, 4 in TJ Finley and 2 in Robbie Ashford. So it's a sloppy offense. It's an offense that isn't able to move the football with ease. And it's an offense with 2 quarterbacks that haven't really found their groove yet. Now, we do know that Robbie Ashford will be the starter on Saturday. And this is only his 2nd ever start. So while I talk about, you know, this Jordan Hare environment being incredibly overwhelming or could potentially be overwhelming for this LSU team, at least early on in the game, I think that the overwhelming factor for Robbie Ashford and this Auburn offense will be because they haven't seen a defense this good so far this season. And just how good is LSU's defense? I mean, they're tied for 3rd in the SEC for most sacks with 12, tied with Alabama behind Arkansas and Ole Miss. Arkansas has just been able to get to the quarterback like crazy so far this season. Their defensive line has been chef's kiss. So that's going to be the biggest, most obvious matchup to watch here is LSU's defense versus Auburn's offense that's been struggling so far this season. 2nd thing is to stop Tank Bigsby and to stop Jarquez Hunter. That really is the heartbeat of this Auburn offense, especially since they've had kind of a revolving door quarterback. What can they do in the run game? Auburn is going to commit to the run game. I can only expect that Auburn's going to want to commit to the run game. So LSU is going to have to stop that. And with this front 4, with this front 7, I think that LSU is going to be able to find success doing that. I only look back to the Mississippi State game, for example, because Mississippi State found a whole lot of success running the ball when they played LSU, at least in the first half. I mean, that first touchdown Mississippi State scored in week 2 against LSU. It was a 37-yard touchdown run by Jaquavius Marks. That 2nd touchdown was set up by a 35-yard run by Dylan Johnson. So LSU has found some success stopping the run and also gave up, you know, big yardage to Mississippi State. So just how good is LSU at stopping the run? I don't think I can definitively answer that question yet. We've seen them find success. We've also seen them not be able to stop the run. So we will see that against Auburn. And that's another way that LSU can stop this Auburn offense, just stop the run. The 3rd way that LSU can win this game is just keep Jaden Daniels in his comfort zone. Continue to spread the ball around, continue to pitch the ball off to different receivers, run the ball, commit to the run game when it works, have a balanced offense. That's when LSU's really found their most success. You know, they ran for 200-something yards against Mississippi State, and Jaden Daniels passed for about 200-something yards. It was very balanced, and I think that's where this LSU offense finds its most success. But I think overall, the key for LSU to win this game, for me, is let the defense win this game. Because Auburn's offense is nothing to be scared of. Let the defense win the game. Let this be a battle in the trenches and allow the offense to just not lose the game for them. I think that's going to be enough for LSU to win this game. But this is what Brian Kelly had to say.
I think consistency on the offensive side of the ball is going to be really important for us. And certainly getting off to a good start is you know, every head coach's game plan. Look, I think what's more important is not only getting off to a good start, but, you know, playing mistake free, you know, eliminating self-inflicted wounds. We've done a really good job taking care of the football. If we can continue to do that, eliminate some of the pre-snap penalties We're going to be okay. I mean, we're getting better at the areas that we need to in terms of efficiency on offense. We're going to have to run the football. We're going to have some balance. I don't know that I'm like, hey, we got to get off the fast start. If we don't, this is going to happen. I think we're kind of rounding into who we are. But I think it's important that we continue to be who we are, and that is we haven't turned the football over. We got to eliminate the pre-snap penalties. And then defensively, we've got to be able to stop the run. That's kind of the bigger picture for me.
I think he just told you the game plan there. He was asked about the offense. He said, yeah, you know, we can't keep committing penalties. We can't make these costly mistakes, which I would agree. You know, no more false starts on the offensive line. No more sloppy mistakes. Don't turn the ball over. Take care of the football, which they found a good bit of success doing so far this season. But he said, you know, really, when it comes down to it, we just got to stop the run. This game isn't about the offense putting up 400 or 500 yards. This isn't about the offense being able to put up 40 or 50 points. This game is about the offense being safe enough and taking care of the football enough and moving the ball enough to let the defense go out there and do their thing and stop Auburn's offense. That's really what it is when it comes down to it. Take care of the football, stop Auburn's offense, and you'll have a whole heck of a lot of success from there. But that's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Also, you can get more on the SEC by making Locked On SEC your second listen. Every day, host Chris Gordy and the local experts of Locked On take you across the SEC in 30 minutes. Make Locked On SEC your second listen.